There is a phrase in Latin that comes to us from around the year 400. And it's lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. Yes, I'm going to translate that for you. Lex orandi, the law of what is prayed. To orandi, to pray, the law, the tradition, the custom of what is prayed is lex credendi, the law, the tradition, the custom of what is believed, which is lex vivendi, the law, the tradition, the custom of what is lived. The law, this tradition of what is prayed is what illuminates and gives life to what is believed and strengthens that and makes it real. Our prayers strengthen our belief. Our prayers inform our belief. Our prayers tell us what we believe, remind us what we believe, instruct us. And our belief is what informs our life. It informs it, it instructs it, it reminds us of how we should live our life. The three of them are all tied together, and if you pull one out, it's going to fall. If you stop praying, you begin to forget what you believe. And if you forget what you believe, well, then you forget how to live in accordance with that belief. Or, yes, we pray, but then we don't really work out the belief part. We just say, yeah, that's whatever. Well, then our life's going to not hold up. We're not going to be able to know anymore how to live because we've forgotten what we believe. Was Jesus man? Was he God? Was he just a wise man? Was he the Son of God? Belief is important. What we believe is important because it means everything for how we live. A phrase I've used at this Mass here before is something that, to kind of paraphrase John Paul II's Memory and Identity, the book, we are what we celebrate, we are what we remember. And so when we call to mind through a long reading of the gospel what Jesus did, and we pray through that, we're allowing that to remind us what we believe. We believe he did these things for us. It's not just a telling of a story. It's not like we just pulled out Beowulf and we just read from that. Yeah, nice story. We get a sense of, but it doesn't impact us personally. Well, it can. It's got a deep Christian root to it. But then that we read this whole gospel to remind us how we should live. Remind us how he wants us to relate to him. Remind us how we might want to relate to God. And so we open up, we finish Lent and open up Holy Week with an actual physical procession. Starting outside and we come in, we're doing something with our bodies. We're acting, we're moving, we're living it out. Which then circles back to remind us how to pray. We should be able to say, Hosanna to the Son of David, Hosanna in the highest. Have that be part of our life. And that reminds us what we believe. We believe that he really is, which then circles through and strengthens our life again. We come forward and we go through the readings and we sing to remind ourselves what we're celebrating. Singing is it's a joyful act. It just comes out of but it also penetrates down in. It's not just coming out, it's coming in. That's why we sing, to remind ourselves what we believe, to celebrate it, to pray it, to have it come out and into our hearts. And then we come to this lengthy gospel, and what do? We stand. I'm not going to sit down to listen, unless your knees are bad, that's okay. But for those who are able-bodied, I'm not going to sit down and listen to what happened to my Lord. I will dignify it by standing up. And when we come to the moment where he's crucified, I am not just going to stand, I am going to kneel before this tragedy, but before this great gift that he gave me. You can sit down for my words, that's okay, that's not as important. But we're not going to stop here. We're going to go into the whole Holy Week. And so on Holy Thursday, we will be here again at 7 p.m. I invite everyone to come to this, the celebration of the Last Supper, so we can put a special spotlight just on that moment, so that we can pray through the Last Supper, celebrate in the washing of the feet, celebrate in the Mass, so that we can remember what we believe. We believe it's not just a symbolic piece of bread that reminds us of something happened long ago. We're reminded of our belief, of our faith that's been handed down to us for 2,000 years, that it's not just bread anymore. As a matter of fact, it's not bread at all after the words of consecration, even though it maintains these appearances. Jesus wants to come into us. He gives us this gift of his body. He gives it to us on the cross, and he gives it to us, surrenders it to us in the Eucharist with his blood. The following day on Good Friday, we'll celebrate the Passion, the most somber and holy of days throughout the entire year. That'll be at 3 p.m. in the afternoon here. I know some of you work. I would encourage you to take time off work. Jesus Christ is worth it. Time off work is a dentist, visit to the dentist is worth time off work. Well, then Jesus Christ, and reminding ourselves what we believe, praying through that, believing it, and living it. I know some can't actually take off work. That's okay. It's not a holy day of obligation. But to live through that. At 7 p.m. in the evening, if you can't make it for the Passion service, we have the Via Crucis. That will be the way, the stations of the cross that we see, each one of these memorials that goes around all 14 of them, each commemorating some moment of our Lord's carrying the cross. That's what that is, if you never knew. It's a beautiful prayer, and you can do it on your own, too. Just find, pull up the app, get a pamphlet, and walk through the stations of the cross. Beautiful tradition. And then on Holy Saturday, in the evening at 8 p.m. here, one of the Bishop O'Hara will be celebrating the Easter Vigil Mass. We will celebrate it again, and we're going to start with a lot of readings. We go through these readings from the Old Testament to remind ourselves what we're about, who we are, who are the people, how did we get here in the most existential way possible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And this great story, the narration of our creation and our fall, but also of our redemption. Our creation, our fall, and our redemption are real things. They're not myths from a time long ago and the stories. This kind of makes sense. Sometimes communicate in mythical language, but they're communicating real truths about our existence. Where did we come from? Why are we here? What's messed up with us? And how can we be saved? And as a matter of fact, we have been saved. We commemorate our Lord's triumph over sin, triumph over suffering, triumph over betrayal, triumph over death itself. One last thing I would encourage you to do during this period of time. Many of you are familiar and have seen that film, Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ. It's the most apropos time of year to go back and watch it again, and especially if you haven't watched it before. It's not an easy watch. It's grueling. But when that first came out, I remember one commentator, I don't know if it, I think it was just a commentator, like a film critic or someone who was Christian, and after having seen it, they just write in their your film critique there in the paper, it was on the internet, whatever. But she said, I couldn't help but, as I'm walking out of the theater, just keep saying to myself, Lord, I'm sorry. I forgot. I'm sorry. I forgot. I forgot. We don't want to forget. So that's why we celebrate these things. So we pray these things. We live out these things. We commemorate these things. We make them real again here and now. Our faith is worth it to do these things. It's real. And that's why we do these things. So let us not forget through this Holy Week. If at all possible, use these moments of celebrating the liturgy throughout the rest of Holy Week to call to mind, to remember, to pray through them, to remember what we believe, and bring that, allow that to penetrate into your heart so that it comes out in your life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.